Well, all the way from Iowa, Jake Johnson joining us on another summer edition of Clan Chat. Sunny and warm in Ireland. I love saying that every week with each new guest. Maybe the best summer I've ever had in Ireland in 18 years. Jake Johnson, welcome to Clan Chat. How's the weather there in Iowa?
Thank you. It's really hot. It's been like 90 degrees past week or two. So I'm just staying indoors, staying cool, and just hanging out.
Enjoying the air conditioning, no doubt. No air conditioning in Ireland, and certainly in your new home in Glasgow, no air conditioning. So you enjoy the heat of the summer. Enjoy the summer while you can. What have you been up to in Iowa the last little while?
We just moved here a couple months ago, so it's kind of just been settling in, getting the lay of the land, building furniture, and then just working out and skating, getting ready for the season.
Well, let's start there. I usually wait till later, but you're back on the ice. What does the off-season training look like for Jake Johnson?
So in Iowa, there's not too many hockey players, surprisingly. So I try and skate by myself maybe 2 to 3 times a week, work out usually 4 to 5. But then when I've been going back and forth between Minnesota and Iowa just to skate with some other professionals and get ready, but it's usually about 2 to 3 times on the ice and then 4 or 5 off ice workouts.
And what's your summer skate look like when you go back to Minnesota? Because there's some great players in the state of Minnesota. Like, who's on the ice when you're out there with that pro skate?
So it's been a lot of turnover over the years. Right now I'm with actually a former teammate of mine at RPI. He runs a skate out in South St. Paul, Billy Jerry. There's my buddy Sam Walensky. He's plays for the Avalanche. He comes. A lot of European guys, some Slovakian players. There's probably 3 or 4 guys from Arizona State that are pretty good. And then just when we play games, we get some USHL and WHL kids to come and play. So it's a good mix.
And we were just talking off recording a little bit. I mean, I am always intrigued at the popularity of high school hockey in the state of Minnesota. It's like its own stratosphere, isn't it? You were the captain of your Bloomington Jefferson High team in 2015-16. Just talk a little bit about growing up in the, you know, one of the hockey hotbeds of USA hockey. I mean, it must have been unbelievable.
Yeah, if you love hockey, Minnesota is the place for you. It's, I don't know how much Glasgow knows about American football, but it's comparatively to Texas football, Texas high school football. Is what Minnesota high school hockey is. It's everywhere. Everybody plays. You grow up. You play from the time you're 5 till you graduate high school with the same group of kids. It's based on where you're from, unless you go to a private school, but I didn't. It's pretty crazy the support that each community gets. I was never lucky enough to make the state tournament that I'm sure people have heard of, but from Thursday to Saturday night, the state tournament runs through the Minnesota Wild rink, and it's sell out every game. So it's 14 to 17 year old kids playing in front of 18,000 people. It's pretty special, and if anybody can ever go watch, I highly recommend.
Yeah, for any of the Purple Army, your new fans in Glasgow, just Google Minnesota State hockey. It's unbelievable. Did you ever do the mullet competition? I know that some of the schools, they grow the mullets and try and have the best hockey here. Or was that part of your graduating class as well?
No, so you usually do that only if you make the state tournament. And we had a very tough path to get there. We had to play, I don't know if people have watched like the Mighty Ducks, like the movies, the Cake Eaters from Edina. We always had to play them to go, and they were really good, so we never got the chance, but I wish.
You didn't. Well, I can tell you that people know the Mighty Ducks. And in Ireland, a lot of people, when I tell them that I work in hockey, that's the first thing they say is the Flying V. And I go, oh, my goodness, just go watch a real hockey game. Growing up in Minnesota, though, were you like a North Stars fan? Or was that like you were probably too young? Were, like, do you watch the Minnesota Wild, and especially with the team they had this year? Are you a massive Minnesota NHL fan as well?
Yeah, so my dad grew up going to North Star games, and then they eventually moved to Dallas in the 90s. So I didn't get to cheer for them, but when the Wild came back, I think in 2001, my dad got season tickets with a couple buddies. So I got to grow up going to a lot of games, and I love the Wild. They're my team. I hope that they can finally make the push to start winning some playoff series, but they're really fun to watch right now, and I think they're trending in the right direction.
Boy, I thought, I'm not a gambling man, but I did think about putting a tenner on the Wild. I mean, I thought going into the playoffs, and you know what, Bill Guerin, I mean, he does such a great job with USA Hockey, picking that Olympic team that won gold in Milano Cortina. I think he's done a great job with the Wild as well. I mean, they certainly look like a team that the window is open for a Stanley Cup push, don't they?
Definitely. I think they just got to get some better goaltending in the playoffs. I think that's kind of what killed them last year, but I really like the look of them. They're skilled. They got some grit. They're tough. I think they're kind of built for playoffs. I think they just got to kind of get some bounces and just get hot at the right time.
And I shouldn't. Yeah, you're only a 27-year-old man. I believe your birthday's coming up soon, so you're not even 30. You wouldn't have been a Minnesota North Stars fan, but certainly a Wild fan. Does your dad have some great memories of going to see those North Star team stories he tells you about? I mean, they have some great players over the years, Modano and company. I mean, that was a great franchise for many years.
Yeah, he grew up going to MetLife Stadium. I think that's what it's called, in Bloomington. That's where I'm from. The stadium used to be there. But yeah, he grew up going to games with his brother and his parents, and he was heartbroken when they left, that's for sure. I don't think he watched the NHL until the Wild came back. He just became a diehard college hockey fan of Minnesota Gophers. So that kind of became his NHL team to root for, because he was just so upset that they moved from Minnesota hockey op-ed to Texas. It didn't make sense.
It didn't make sense. And then, I mean, the North Stars went to that Stanley Cup final. I believe it was Mario Lemieux that broke their hearts. He had some incredible goals in that series. Yeah. I think it was John Casey who was in the net, and I think he was happy to see the back of number 66 after that series, because that was Mario Lemieux at the height of his powers, unfortunately. I mean, your USHL, you just mentioned your summer skate. Sometimes you round in with some of the top junior players from the USHL. You had a couple of great years in that junior league at Sioux Falls and Cedar Rapids, and a lot of fans on this side of the pond know about major junior hockey in Canada, you know, the London Knights, the Kitchener Rangers, all that. But just talk about the USHL and your development there and those couple of stops at Sioux Falls and Cedar Rapids.
Yeah, I think, well, now everything's changed with all this new NIL and eligibility stuff. So I'm not sure how it is now, but when I was there, it was, if you wanted to play Division I hockey, you tried to make the USHL. It was a pretty big wake-up call coming from high school, where it was kind of, you're always kind of the best player on the team, and maybe you don't have to work as hard as maybe you should, and you can kind of get away with it. But then once you get to the USHL, it's guys are drafting the NHL. They're committed to school since they were 14 years old. Like, they're the best of the best. And you're also playing against older guys that are almost 21 I was somewhat old. I was 18, but it's anywhere from 16 to 21. And it's the best kids that are college eligible that aren't in college yet. So you're playing against, I mean, when I was there, I was playing against Brady Tkachuk and Quinn Hughes and Jack Hughes and Matt Boldy, Cole Caulfield. It was pretty eye-opening coming from just a regular high school hockey to seeing those guys. It was a wake-up call, but it was huge for developing. You realize how hard you have to work if you want to get to where you want to be.
Yeah, that would be a good good barometer. You just named pretty well half the Olympic championship team from Milano Cortina there. And so that's what I kind of wanted to talk about. The level of the USHL is unbelievable. So to have the success you had there, then you talk about wanting to go and play, you know, Division I hockey. You had a great NCAA career at RPI and a short spell at Quinnipiac at the end of your NCAA career. Talk a little bit about both those stops and how much you enjoyed playing in NCAA hockey.
Oh man, college hockey was best. Well, besides 1 year during the Kobe year, we didn't play, so that year kind of sucked. But besides that, it was the best time ever. Just getting that kind of freedom away from being on your own and getting to experience college, but also getting to play hockey at a super high level and getting to play in the ECAC, where I thought it was really cool. We got to like go to Harvard and Princeton and all these pretty old programs that had a lot of history, and it was really good hockey as well. My freshman year, I think there's 11 teams. I think six of the teams were in the top 20. So it was very eye opening as well, because then you go to Harvard and you're playing against Adam Fox, and he was just making the game look ridiculously easy. And it's just another stepping stone of realize, wow, these players are really good. So RPI was a good, it was a fun experience, and then kind of developed me into being able to go to Quinnipiac and go to a top program in the nation. And obviously I had a great year and best year of hockey of my life, just being on a championship team.
Well, and a lot of people on this side of the pond know these teams. They know Quinnipiac because of the Friendship Four in Belfast. The Belfast Giants do a great job hosting the Friendship Four, and I've been lucky to be a part of all those from a TV broadcaster perspective. And when I watch the NCAA, I sometimes forget that I'm watching student athletes because it's that good. And you talked about there, you're watching guys like Fox, who's become an NHL star, make it look so easy. I mean, it does give you that sort of barometer, because it is, I think, when you come into your senior year, it almost is like playing professional hockey, isn't it?
Yeah, you're trying to earn another spot to keep playing. You're trying to earn a contract, wherever that may be. There's some pressure there, but you've worked the past couple of years to earn that spot. And we actually played at that Friendship Four when I was at Quinnipiac. That was fun tournament.
It's a great tournament, and I wanted to get into that because that Quinnipiac team, Quinnipiac's been over a few times, and Notre Dame's been over. But I think now, and I do remember seeing you, but I think now that a lot of these NCAA schools that had to be convinced to come to Belfast are now approaching that tournament and saying, we'd like to come over, because talk about the bonding moment. I mean, you must have been pinching yourself going, I'm in Northern Ireland playing, you know, NCAA hockey. What a pinch me moment.
Oh, it was awesome. Just that, I think that's really where our team kind of got super close, just being on the road for a week straight, flying, traveling, doing tours around Ireland and Northern Ireland, and just exploring the city. We got to explore Dublin for a day, and then we got to go up to Belfast, and Belfast was, they were great to us, just hosting us, and the people around the town were extremely, not in awe, but impressed that we were playing at the Friendship Four, and they were super kind. And after we won, we got to go out and enjoy some beverages with the folk of Belfast, and it was awesome. I loved the experience there, and our team definitely took a step when we won that tournament.
I do remember your year, and I remember thinking that it was a special team. But like, I've been lucky, even when it's not necessarily the big names, there's always a special moment. And the first time ever that the Friendship Four bell was rung, I circle that in the calendar every year. Even if I don't get asked back to do the TV at some point, I'll still be going up to watch, because it is unbelievable. So anyone watching this and hasn't been to the Friendship Four, do circle it on the calendars. And it's nice for you guys as well. You get to celebrate Thanksgiving abroad and all that. So it's a special time. I'm a bit biased because I live in Dublin. What was your highlight of that tour or that day in Dublin?
I mean, the Guinness was incredible. we did like a walking tour of just the city, and then we got probably 5 hours to explore on our own. And it was during the, it was some big soccer tournament or football. I don't want to make anybody upset. Was it, it wasn't World Cup. It was Olympics.
But it would have been, that was 22-23.
2020,
that
or was it World Cup?
It probably was World Cup because we've just gotten through the World Cup cycle of 2026. So yeah, it would have been.
So that was going on. So we just went to a couple of pubs and had some Guinness and watched some football or soccer. I don't know.
Football is what you, once you touch down in Glasgow, just go with football forevermore. Yeah.
Right.
And look, it doesn't matter because it wouldn't have mattered if it was the World Cup or what. Unfortunately, Ireland hasn't qualified for the last couple of World Cups, but it doesn't matter because people in Ireland love sport in general. So you must have got a good vibe for how much people enjoy it. Like, I know a lot of my relatives were cheering for Canada in the last few World Cups because you want to have someone to cheer for. Mm-hmm. And certainly Scotland did such a good job this year. The Tartan Army took over Boston during the World Cup just passed. So, but that sort of passion, it must have given you a little taste for Irish sport and culture as well, despite the fact that Ireland wouldn't have been there at the World Cup.
Yeah, definitely. Then we went to Belfast and we got introduced to the Gaelic games.
Oh,
that
yeah.
That was pretty cool.
Gaelic football and hurling is unbelievable.
Yeah. We got to play a practice round and there was a couple of actual players and they were so talented and athletic. And I was like, this sport's pretty cool. I would love to see it.
It's unbelievable. The All-Ireland final just happened here as we recorded this, just happened last weekend. Mayo won their first All-Ireland, which would be like their Stanley Cup or their Super Bowl, for lack of a better term, or their Olympic gold. But Mayo had a curse 75 years. It was like the curse of Babe Ruth or something like that. But they hadn't won the All-Ireland in 75 years, and they just beat Kerry, who are perennial sort of champions. But that sporting culture, again, 82,000 people at Croke Park, and it's an amateur sport. It's just unbelievable.
Sorry, I think I broke up there.
Oh, you're still audible.
Okay, I see you just fine now.
Yeah.
Can you see me?
I can't see you.
Sorry about that.
It must be the curse of Mayo Gaelic football.
I saw that clip on Twitter. I was like, wow, that's just, the environment looked unbelievable.
It's, Irish people are great sports fans, Scottish people. I just think people enjoy good sport, and it doesn't matter if it's football, Gaelic football, hurling, and now ice hockey is so popular, so part of the sporting culture in Belfast as well. You must have really enjoyed that, which is why when I heard your name being bandied about, and when Zach Vinnell and I'm sure Mike Sorrent and whoever else was reaching out to you, I was just delighted that you weren't going to Belfast, because Belfast have done such a good job mining those sort of friendship for alumni from the past.
Yeah, there was I don't want to get too much into it, but there was talks. But no, I'm super excited to be in Glasgow.
Talk about the East Coast Hockey League a little bit, Jake, because obviously Fort Wayne was kind of your foray into pro hockey out of the college ranks, and you spent some time in Tahoe. All-star season last year in Cincinnati with 43 points. Just talk about the East Coast Hockey League, because it is a league that your new fans on this side of the pond are very, very well-versed on.
Yeah, it's a hard league. It's definitely an adjustment coming from college, where you're only playing two games a weekend, and travel is pretty light. And then you go, I got introduced in Fort Wayne. It's just constant bus trips and 72 games and four games and five nights, different cities, 3-3s pretty much every weekend. So it's definitely a grind, physically, but also mentally, just to stay sharp when you're tired. Really, so you kind of learn how to play tired, and you learn the pro game and maybe picking your spots better. And but still, it's very talented. A lot of college guys come in and earn opportunities to move up. And then there's also plenty of major junior guys coming in with entry-level deals that are trying to develop and get to that next level and that next step for them. But I had a good time in the ECHL. I met a lot of good people, a lot of great friendships still. But I'm very excited to be moving on and in a new experience here in Glasgow.
I mean, All-Star last year, it really seemed to come together for you. All of your stats and numbers, and you could see that you were growing into the pro game over those stops in Fort Wayne, Tahoe, obviously with the Night Monsters, and Cincinnati last year. But just talk a little bit about last year, because it obviously came together pretty well for you.
Yeah, it was good. Coming into Cincinnati, I was hurt. I got hurt like game 71 in Tahoe. So I actually wasn't even able to step on the ice till mid-August, which was kind of weird for me because I normally like to get back out there. But maybe it was kind of a blessing to kind of reset and kind of almost reinvigorated my passion for hockey, just because once it's taken away, you realize how much you really love it. And then coming into Cincinnati, I was given a very good opportunity from Coach Wislowski, and we were a very young team, so we kind of needed somebody to step up on the D side and kind of be a leader, and I hope I did a good job of that. But yeah, just opportunity-wise, I think I took what I was given and kind of ran with it, and we had a great power play and a lot of great offensive guys, and it was fun working with them. And it was unfortunate that we couldn't make the playoffs. We got on a good push there at the end, but overall I had a great time in Cincinnati.
Talk about Tahoe. Like, I remember the NHL play in Lake Tahoe, the outdoor classic a few years ago, or maybe even more than 4 years ago. I know the Bruins played. I remember David Pastrnak coming out with the ski goggles and everything. I mean, what was it like playing in Tahoe? And there's the next Glasgow Clan connection there with Nate Callan, played for the Tahoe Monsters as well.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned him. He's probably one of my best friends from pro. I was roommates with him in Tahoe, and we stayed in touch. We play Xbox together pretty much every day. So Tahoe was great. It was the most beautiful place I'll ever live. Just coming up, we didn't live technically in Tahoe. We lived down the hill in Carson City, but just making that drive every day, it would take your breath away. Just how blue the lake was, and with the mountains, and beautiful brand new arena, good fan support. Hockey-wise, maybe didn't go as well as I wished, but just living there and obviously getting close with Cal was awesome. And he said, when I told him that Glasgow was interested, he said great things, and he loved his experience and highly recommended me to sign there.
Nate was one of my favorite guys that year. Unfortunately, he had an upper body injury that really kind of took him aback, and I'm delighted that he got through that, and I'm delighted he was playing on the coast. And I'm not so delighted he's gone to Guildford this year, because that's the real banana skin team for the Clan over the years. I do not want to see Nate Callan in a Guildford jersey, but I'm delighted he's healthy and playing good hockey. He really is a good guy, isn't he?
Oh, he's one of the best. I don't know one person that didn't like Cal. Everybody likes him. Everyone wants to hang out with him. Just a good dude, great hockey player. I think unfortunately he'll do really well in Guildford.
Yeah, I think so. I think we were 1-5 or 0-6 against Guildford last year, so I'm not happy about seeing him go there. I was going to message him the other day, and I thought, no, I'm going to leave it because it'll come back to bite me. But I have a lot of good memories of Nate, and unfortunately he had an injury. I think it was against Cardiff in our own building. But, like, he was our best defenseman by a country mile before that injury, and it's just a shame that that's the way it went. But I was delighted when he kind of got back on the ice. For the Clan fans who haven't looked up your video or haven't checked out your highlights online, tell them what kind of player Jake Johnson will be when he pulls on that purple jersey.
I will be a simple puck-moving defenseman that can skate pretty well, can defend, but my job is to get the puck into the forwards' hands as quickly as possible. I'm a big believer in that the forwards are the skill guys. They're the ones that want to make the plays, and you know, I definitely think I can as well, but I want to set them up and put them in good spots, and I take pride defensively. I don't like getting scored on. So I would just say two-way, simple defenseman. Honestly, for the most part, if if the average fan doesn't really notice me, I think I'm kind of doing my job, just making the right play 9 out of 10 times and just being simple and effective.
I love that you said that, get the puck into the hands of the skill guys, because I've watched a lot of video on you since your name popped up, and I think you're supremely skilled, so it's nice that you think that the forwards are the skill guys. Have you been watching the signing news around the league, obviously, but more so for the Clan, and is there anyone that when, you know, you see that name, you're excited to play with some of these forwards that have been recruited for Glasgow this year?
So I'm terrible with names, but I think it was I recognize Ross Armour from college. He was a good player at Bemidji, I believe. What was it? Langanen?
Oh, yeah. Tristan Langanen. Yeah, unbelievable player.
Yeah. So I was when I was thinking of signing here, I watched a lot of the Glasgow Clan like YouTube highlights, and I think he popped up quite a bit when I was watching. So maybe those two guys, but just going through elite prospects and seeing all the guys that were coming back that put up pretty good numbers, it's like pretty exciting stuff, at least in my eyes, to hopefully have some success with them and give them the puck.
Well, Jake Johnson, I think that's music to Clan fans' ears, and a nice way to leave it. I know you have some, you had to put some flat pack furniture together there. You're getting settled into the new accommodation there in Iowa, and you'll be getting settled into the new accommodation on this side of the pond in probably about a month's time. I really look forward to meeting you in person. I think we did actually cross paths in Belfast and probably said hello, but that was a long time ago. So I look forward to seeing you on this side of the pond again. And thanks for taking the time to join us on Clan Chat.
Thanks for having me. Excited to be there. Excited to meet you guys and excited to see the fans.
All right, buddy. Enjoy the rest of your summer.
Thank you, too.